What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And now this is going on a third season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, John Kegley is back on the show for you guys today. I know you guys have been clamoring for that. And like we said, we're always going to have him on as much as we possibly can. So John is back today to talk about Kobe Bryant because he didn't get to yesterday. I know he is one of John's idols. So he's going to talk about in the second segment where we're going to be getting into how it relates to the Chargers and what the Chargers could take away from Kobe Bryant's work ethic and killer instinct and all of those things in the second segment. In the last segment, we are going to be talking about the Senior Bowl and talking about some standout players from Saturday's game in Mobile, Alabama. So we're going to get into that. But first, we're going to be talking about the huge news of the day, which is that Jay Glazer from Fox Sports is reporting that one major Charger is not coming back to the team. So let's go ahead and get into it. Jay Glazer of Fox Sports flippantly today on Colin Cowherd's radio show said that the Chargers have decided to move on from a legend. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Jay Glazer said that the Chargers are going to move on from Phillip Rivers, and that decision has already been made. It has sent ripples through the Chargers community. Many people thought that this might happen, but today was the first time that we've seen someone come out and report that the team is done with Phillip Rivers, a guy who led their franchise for most of 16 seasons. So David, when you see Jay Glazer, a pretty reliable source, come out and say that Phillip Rivers is not coming back to the Chargers and that it is official now, what was your reaction?
I mean, it just kind of gave me some pause, to be quite honest. I mean, just in the manner in which he said it, like it was just so nonchalant, like it was just common knowledge. It just gave me some pause. I mean, Phillip Rivers is an icon, and you know, it's a legend in the Chargers organization in the NFL period. It seems like there would be a little bit more time dedicated to a story like this if the Chargers and Phillip Rivers were going to part ways, or if the Chargers decided that they were going to move on from Phillip Rivers, as Jay Glazer has stated. So it kind of just makes me think that I just want to have some more confirmation, not saying that Jay Glazer is not a legitimate source, because he wholeheartedly absolutely is, but I just want to see a report or, you know, some comments coming from the Chargers organization that kind of confirms this. And that's why it kind of gives me some pause. But if this really is the end of Phillip Rivers' tenure with the Chargers, then Phillip Rivers had a phenomenal career with the Chargers, and it begs the question on what's next.
Absolutely. And it also begs the question of who's left. And I think that really is about the Chargers fan base and those that were still loyal to the Chargers from San Diego, who really had Phillip Rivers as their quarterback for so long. And with that tie being severed, if this actually comes to fruition, that is something that I think is really going to divide the fan base, no matter what people were saying about the Chargers moving on from him. It might be the right move, but this is not the way that you want to see it come out if it is going to happen. There's Marty Caswell, a sports reporter from San Diego, who is saying that she is hearing that these reports are not true. So there's kind of some talk on both sides. Jay Glazer is the only person I've seen actually say for sure that Phillip Rivers is not going to be with the Chargers next year and that the Chargers are moving on. And he kind of just said, you know, the Giants have moved on from Eli, which Eli is retired, so there's no disputing that. The Chargers have moved on from Phillip Rivers, and going on to talk about a point about Drew Brees. It wasn't even about Phillip Rivers. But if it is the end of Phillip Rivers' career as a Charger, he ends up with a 123-101 record as the starting quarterback. He ends up with 59,271 passing yards and 397 touchdowns while making the Pro Bowl eight times. Both of those numbers, touchdowns and passing yards, are both top 10 in NFL history and number one in franchise history for the Chargers. So his resume speaks for itself. Obviously, he doesn't have the one big thing, which is a Super Bowl ring. But if this is the Chargers just saying we are moving on from Phillip Rivers, that would be a lot different, David, than the two sides just saying that they're ready to both move on. It would look pretty bad for a Chargers organization that has had trouble losing its legends in the past.
Yeah, I just don't understand how they don't know how to conduct themselves when they're saying goodbye to legends, players that have given every single thing they had to an organization. I mean, you got LT, bad divorce there. You got Eric Weddle, bad divorce there. And if this is another situation where the Chargers mishandle a situation like this, it just looks absolutely terrible with how they handle these situations. I don't understand how they don't treat these players better in these situations. It's absolutely mind-blowing to me. But, you know, I guess we'll have to see exactly what happens. Like I said, I still want some confirmation on if it's really going to happen. But if it does happen, then I was very privileged and honored to be able to watch everything that Phillip Rivers was able to do in a Chargers uniform. And we wish him the best of luck wherever he decides to play next year.
And if he decides to play next year, I still don't think that retirement is totally out of the question. But you're right. They've had a lot of disgruntled superstars. Vincent Jackson is another guy you could add to the long list of players that they've had messy endings with. And it's a hard thing to do. I mean, moving on from a player when LaDainian Tomlinson was here and he started struggling towards the end of his career, he was reinvigorated by going to the Jets. But that was really ugly. And you would hate to see something like that happen with Phillip Rivers, the best quarterback in franchise history. And I don't think it sways me as far as if I think Phillip Rivers is coming back any less or any more. I was already pretty sure that Phillip Rivers is going to not be in a Chargers uniform next season. But to see that the team is deciding that and kind of making that decision for Phillip Rivers is definitely something that's going to be controversial, whether it's the right call or not. But we do have two more segments to get into. We have what the Chargers can take from the late, great Kobe Bryant as far as work ethic and things like that going forward, and also talking about the Senior Bowl, which happened last weekend, coming up right after this. But, you know, guys, it's been a pretty rough week, but one way that you can still get it going in the bedroom is Blue Chew. That's BlueChew.com, blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we have our special deal still going for our listeners. If you go to BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. I'm looking at you, Barnaby. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. And also, guys, if you guys are fans that know football very well and you're looking for a place to bet on the big game coming up this weekend, there's really only one place to go, and that is MyBookie. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. If you guys are looking for a way to bet and you want to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Right now, if you join MyBookie, they will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer today. Visit MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, we're back here with the second segment. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about the late, great Kobe Bryant, who obviously perished over the weekend in a horrific helicopter accident. And we are guys who all, you know, grew up very much admiring and respecting Kobe Bryant and what he did. And we talked yesterday just about the fact that Kobe Bryant really transcended sports. It wasn't just how good he was. It was the way he played, the way he went about his business, and so many other things. So, John, obviously, I know you're one of the people, one of my friends I know that took it really the hardest yesterday. I know that growing up, Kobe Bryant was one of your idols. So, first, you didn't get a chance to speak on the subject yesterday, but what did Kobe Bryant mean to you?
Well, everybody knows LaDainian Tomlinson is my childhood hero, basically saved my life by teaching me to be a better person. But Kobe Bryant is, like, by the slightest margin, just under LT for reasons my life changed. I learned from LT basically how to be a better person, but I learned from Kobe how to do what you want regardless what people think and to work hard for it. And it's that Mamba mentality to go after what you want, work hard at it. Don't have a fear of screwing up because you're going to live to fight another day and have a chance to make up for it. And stuff like that is what has made me better at doing things like making a podcast. When people first started talking sports with me, it's like, I got the knowledge. I just don't know how to deliver it. And I would screw up and people would disappear from me. I would work hard at how to deliver that into a speech. And then I get onto a show once, and that was Chargers Domination Live. And I delivered it, and Wade liked it, David liked it, and they let me stay on the show after that. So stuff like that, I learned from Kobe. Without that, I probably don't succeed like I do. I learned so much from him. And then to see how good of a dad he was, like, I wish I could be that dad when I have my kid in the future. He was dedicated to the kids. He got his own private helicopter just so that he could make it from practice to his kids' events, whether it be a show, a game, a graduation, whatever it was. He wanted to still be in their lives but still be able to focus on his career. And stuff like that is so admiring that I wish I could be that guy. And he's, now that he's gone, you'll never get to know the second half of what his life was. After sports, he was not going to say, look what I did. Hey, I got 5 championships. I'm the leading scorer on the Lakers or this. Like, he said, know it. It's time to move on, and I'm going to do something bigger and better. And he tried that, and now we'll never get to see it.
Well, and he was so successful in that. He won an Oscar. That's ridiculous for an athlete to get out of the game and, you know, want to pursue a career in Hollywood and something or something like that, and to have his, you know, little short animated film come out. And if you haven't seen it, which I'm sure you might have just because it's been circulating so much, and I literally have goosebumps, thinking about it right now. He deserved the Oscar, and it's crazy to think about all that we missed from Kobe Bryant, what he was going to do in his second act, like John said. But the fact that he's not going to be there for his Hall of Fame acceptance speech is truly just such a shame and something really hard to think about. But I think what you're talking about, his inspiration as a father, I think that's a father that we would all want to have. I mean, someone that's going to be there for all the games and take the time to help you work at something that you love and not push his daughters necessarily into basketball. His daughter Gigi, the one that was with him on the helicopter, was into basketball, but his older daughter was not at all, and he didn't care about that. And I think one of the main things that really spoke to me was just him saying a story on Jimmy Kimmel about how some guy walked up to him and just told him, hey, you need to have a son so somebody can really carry on that Bryant legacy. And his daughter was standing next to him and said, I got that. Like, what's wrong with me, kind of thing. And he was just like, you know what? That is right. Like, why can't she do that?
And you brought up the Hall of Fame. It has actually been announced that Kobe Bryant will be the automatic first nominee into the 2020 Hall of Fame class. They are going to skip the entire election part of it and just put him into the Hall of Fame because he deserves it.
Why not? What's the point of even having it? He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, probably unanimous. I don't think there'd be anyone, any writer or anyone out there that would say he's not a Hall of Famer. So I think it's the right decision. I also think, now that we're on that subject, that nobody else should wear 8 or 24 in the NBA ever again.
Yeah, and the Dallas Mavericks have already kind of led the charge on that. They have said that nobody will ever wear the number 24 as a Dallas Maverick again, and I think that's a pretty respectable move there by Mark Cuban, and I don't think he'll be the last one that we see make that move. And just all of the tributes yesterday in the games, letting the 24-second shot clock violation go out, looking at what Trae Young did yesterday and had a ridiculous game while changing his number to 8 to pay tribute to Kobe Bryant. Just heartwarming moments, heartbreaking moments at the same time. But getting into, what the greatness of Kobe Bryant was, because, this does give us a great chance to reflect on how lucky we were to be able to witness the greatness that was Kobe Bryant. And I think that really goes throughout all sports. And today I want to focus on what that could bring to the Chargers and what you would like to see the Chargers take away from Kobe Bryant's Mamba mentality. So, David, if you had to take one thing from what Kobe Bryant stood for and really did throughout his career, what is one of those things that you would love to implant into the Chargers and see that out of them?
Tenacity. That's the biggest thing that I would like to take, that mindset, that grind, that I'm a killer instinct tenacity that he brought to the court every single game that he played. That's something that I think the Chargers would absolutely benefit from, that killer instinct. That's something that's been missing. I mean, putting your foot on an opponent's throat and putting the game away and dominating. That type of mentality right there, that tenacity, I think every single player should bring that every single play. And if they did that, I think you would immediately see different results. I think sometimes these players take plays off, or they don't prepare the way they should. If you have that Mamba tenacity, then that's never a problem ever again.
I mean, I think you could have seen how much that would have changed the Chargers' record this season with their record in one score game. So I think we already could have seen that this year, and that's a great thing to take away from him. But John, where would you go if you had to take one of Kobe's many great traits and instill that into the Chargers franchise?
Well, when you talk about the Mamba mentality, it has to be the we're going to win no matter what. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to put whatever I have out there, regardless what people are going to think of me afterward. If I go out there and shoot 30 shots and miss them, oh, well. If I go out to make 30 shots and make them all, they're going to love me compared to what they would if I would have missed them all. They're going to hate me regardless. I'm going to go out there and do my thing, and I'm going to work hard at it. The Chargers don't seem to have that work hard, study your opponent mentality, and go out there and do what you know you can do. It seems to just be this really soft mindset when it comes to the game. You look at the other team, they're ready to go. They want to start hitting. The Chargers act like they're just there to collect a paycheck. And with Kobe, I was reading this book in the mall today. It was Kobe's book, The Mamba Mentality. It was like 23 pages out of the book that they put on the tablet in the Verizon store. And I was going through reading it, and there was a part from Pau Gasol talking about how Kobe would bring him into the hotel during the 2010 finals. And Kobe was talking about, hey, this is how the Celtics defend the pick and roll, and this is how we can attack it. And Pau Gasol was talking about just how precise and specific and how broken down the Celtics were, and that he was like, I wish I could do what Kobe did. He spent all night, and even though Kobe's body would say, hey, it's time to go to sleep, his mind would say, no, I got to get ahead of my opponents every chance I can. The Chargers have to start doing that type of thing. You got to study, adapt, and learn how to beat your opponent rather than just going in there and just seeing what will happen, like Gus Bradley's defense is. Let's just go in there, play the zone, and hopefully they screw up, instead of we're going to go after you because we studied you and we know where your weakness is.
And I think going back to the first part of what you said, I think the Chargers are losing a little bit of that if Phillip Rivers leaves. I'm not comparing the two, obviously. Kobe's one of the best of all time, but I know Phillip Rivers always had that mentality of, we can get back in this game, we can come back and win this game. And even though they didn't do it this year, Phillip Rivers wasn't afraid to take a shot, if that makes any sense. So I think they're losing a little bit of that, and probably a little bit of that trash talking as well. But I think confidence is one thing that you would want to take from Kobe Bryant. I think there's not many players that had more confidence in what they were doing with Kobe Bryant. But to get that confidence, it does start with the preparation, taking a little bit from what you said there, John, and David as well. I mean, the preparation that guy put into the game, the willingness to perfect his craft, is something I think that every athlete should aspire to. So I think I would take that away from it as well.
Well, and you got to remember this too. After practice, everyone went home. Kobe would stay after, and he would shoot 50 threes from the five spots on the three-point line, from both corners, from the center, and then in between. Like, he would shoot 50 threes from each one after every single practice, no matter how tired he was, whatever. And everybody else was already going home doing whatever. And he would show up on his last season that he played. He was showing up 3 hours before the game, already putting in work, shooting the ball for like an hour or two, and then would play the game.
Absolutely. I mean, he's just such an inspirational figure, just such an icon, a role model for a lot of athletes. And we saw the effect that it had, not just on the NBA yesterday, but also on Chargers players. So many players, grieving publicly on Twitter and on social media, just saying what Kobe Bryant meant to them. So I think all of those things are things that the Chargers could take from Kobe Bryant and be better for it. Obviously, they don't make that kind of inspiration and that kind of work ethic. You can't create that. I mean, it's something that you can aspire to, but he truly was one of a kind with how hard he worked, how dedicated he was, how loyal he was to the franchise in Los Angeles, staying there for 20 years, even though there were some trade rumors, obviously, but he stayed there for 20 seasons. And loyalty is something I think the Chargers could probably take away from it as well. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about the Reese's Senior Bowl and talking about all the prospects that could potentially be on the Chargers watch list coming up right after this. All right, guys, well, time to get into the final segment of the show, and something I know you guys are going to like, because when you're the Chargers and you really have only the offseason to be super hopeful before they can mess it up for you for a lot of seasons, this is such a happy time to be able to look at these prospects that are playing right now in all of these glorified All-Star games and think about what they could be in a Chargers uniform. So we had a lot of questions going into the game in Mobile, Alabama, especially about some quarterbacks. And I think some of those questions were either backed up by performances that we saw. And I think we saw some things that we didn't necessarily expect. So when we're talking about the Chargers, they have the sixth overall pick. Really the only guys that were in this game that could potentially be jockeying for that sixth pick with the Chargers were Justin Herbert and Jordan Love. I mean, Jordan Love has been shooting up as far as draft stock goes. I mean, some people have the Chargers even taking him at number six, which don't get me started on that. But I want to start with Justin Herbert first, David, because he was a guy we were looking at, knowing the Chargers' interest in him and knowing that he could be a possibility there at six. And for the most part, he had a pretty clean game. I mean, his overall stat line was pretty solid. He was very efficient. He picked up a couple of first downs with his legs. We saw him get to take some snaps from under center, which is not something he was doing at Oregon. Those are all things that you wanted to see. So overall, I thought it was a pretty good performance by Justin Herbert. He won the MVP of the game, even though he didn't deserve to. He was on the losing team, and there was a quarterback who had a better game than him. But I think with Justin Herbert, you might not have answered all of the questions, but he still went out there and put together a pretty good game.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. He was solid. I mean, he threw for a touchdown. He was efficient. I mean, he showed why, you know, he's a threat with his legs. I mean, I think this is, you know, an opportunity for him just to showcase his leadership through the practices, which everyone said that he shined, was the best quarterback in the practice, and then went out in the game and performed well, too. Although I would have like to see him just go through some more reads instead of, you know, these easy, you know, easy throws and the screen game that he utilized a lot in college, again here in the Senior Bowl. I mean, it's just, you know, it's nothing that kind of changed one way or another for me. I think it was just another opportunity for Justin Herbert to check the box, and I think he did that.
Yeah, I agree with you, though. I mean, it would have been nice to say, I mean, it would be nice to see him, you know, line up under center, run a play action pass, and push the ball deep down the field, because that's something we didn't see from him, was pushing the ball down the field. I thought he made some good timing plays. I think even a couple of his incompletions weren't really terrible throws, and more missed timing between him and the wide receiver. So I thought he was good. I mean, showed the rocket arm, showed some precision passing at times, but also had some times where the ball placement wasn't the best, especially rolling out of the pocket, but he did complete the pass. Either way, I think another guy that was really heavily looked into in this game was Jordan Love, who didn't really get a lot of reps. I mean, he had a couple of balls that I really liked, actually, from him. He had one that ended up getting kind of dropped by a wide receiver, where the receiver started going inside instead of outside, and he couldn't make a play on it. And he also had another ball that was dropped as well that could have been, you know, a big play and kept the drives going for us to have a more extended look at him. But the bigger name was Jalen Hurts, a guy that many people think the Chargers could potentially target in the second round and, you know, have a mobile quarterback in the mold of some of the guys that have come out of the draft recently. I don't think that Jalen Hurts is a passer like those other guys have been. I think Lamar Jackson's a better passer than Jalen Hurts. I mean, Russell Wilson and some of the more athletic, smaller guys all have better accuracy and throw the ball better than him. And John, in this game, he had some opportunity, even with, you know, a bad offensive line, to kind of answer some of those questions about his arm and being a pocket passer. And I don't think he did that.
No, he didn't. I've been saying for a while that this guy would be a bust if the Chargers got him. And this game kind of showed why. And he is not really the greatest when it comes to pocket presence. He can take off and run. Yeah, he's really fast. Can he read holes when he takes off running? Absolutely. But when it comes to passing the ball, sitting in the pocket, knowing where the pressure is, being able to step up or escape the pressure, he doesn't do that. He is so locked onto a receiver, he doesn't know what's going on around him. And if he gets hit, he's not disciplined enough to just take the hit or throw it at the feet of a running back that's like 5 yards from him. He'll try to throw it down the field because he got away with it at Oklahoma. Oklahoma has a way different offense that's just so like scientifically put together that it works. But when you take somebody from that offense and you put them in the NFL, they don't really succeed that much. Sometimes the offensive linemen do, but quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield's kind of the exception, but not too much.
Kyler
Most
Murray?
Of the quarterbacks, Kyler Murray has had 1 year. I'm not really to be sold on him yet.
Yeah, no, I get that.
But the rest of them that have come through there, like, who is actually stepping up? What did Sam Bradford do? He threw for like 55 touchdowns and 10 interceptions his senior year. He comes to the NFL and he blows a division lead to the 7-9 Seahawks and doesn't do anything else later. Like, they don't really show up in the NFL. So I'm not sold on Jalen Hurts until I can see him maybe at the combine or at a pro day or something to show, hey, look, I've improved my pocket presence. You could draft me.
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't know if he helped his draft stock. One thing that didn't help him was the offensive lineman getting consistently beaten around him, and he got brought down a bunch of times, leading to a really impressive day by Bradley and I from Utah.
Which is probably a great way to say, hey, what are you going to do if you come to the Chargers where we have our battle line?
Yeah, exactly. So we know what he looks like behind a bad offensive line, and that really wasn't good in this game. But some of the offensive linemen that I really liked in this game were Damian Lewis, a guy I hadn't really watched a lot of going into it, but a big physical guard that moves people out of the way in the running game, and just had, you know, showed the ability to get out on a screen pass that went for a touchdown to LaMichael Pirine. Also had some plays, you know, just getting up to the second level in the running game and just moving people out and creating some really big holes. So I really liked what I saw out of Damian Lewis. And Josh Jones, the offensive tackle out of Houston, probably raised his draft stock to a first round pick this week because of what he was able to do, not just in the game, but throughout the week. I know he had one tough play in the game, but I was watching him in a lot of pass rushing sets, and he was beating a guys a lot of time. I mean, his punch was pretty average as far as power goes, but he's pretty crafty. You'll see him throw some phantom punches out there to get the defensive end to really commit to a pass rushing move before he gets his hands on him. And I really liked what he was able to do anchoring at the top of the pass rush. You'd see him kind of take a couple of steps back, but before they would get to the quarterback, he really anchored down and stopped whoever was coming after him. So I liked what I saw a lot out of Josh Jones. And I mean, we saw Tytus Howard go in the first round last year because of, you know, games like this and just really seeing his draft stock rise precipitously. And he was supposed to be a third round pick, and originally maybe before that a fifth round pick, and he ended up as a first round pick for the Texans. A couple of tackles that didn't have a good game in this one were the offensive tackle Throckmorton out of Oregon, which is just a great name. I wanted him to be good just based on name alone. Unfortunately, that was not the case. I mean, he got beat several times for sacks. He also got beat on one play that ended up in an interception. Also, Terrence Steele from Texas Tech ended up getting beat a lot on the day. So both of those guys I didn't really know about going into this game, but I had a much worse impression of, because the defensive lines in these games were really, really getting after it, especially Bradley and I from Utah, who got three sacks, I believe, in the game. Also was the player that got a hit that led to an interception. He was super impressive. And I know for the Chargers, that's not necessarily a need for them at pass rusher. You have Melvin Ingram, you have Joey Bosa, but both of those guys' contracts are up after next season. So you have Uchenna Nwosu kind of waiting in the wings. But David, you never have enough pass rushers. So when you see the performance of the defensive lines in these games and the pass rushers in these games, you start to wonder, hey, maybe the Chargers need to get a pass rusher in this draft, because there are a lot of guys putting on a show out there at the Reese's Bowl.
No question about it. I mean, and I showcased a lot of a good speed, a lot of good bend around the corner, a guy I really liked watching in this game. And hey, you know, let's look at the facts here. I mean, Joey Bosa is going to get paid a lot of money, whether that's with the Chargers or with somebody else. Melvin Ingram's contract is up after the season, and he's getting up there in age, so who knows if we're going to bring him back. We don't know what's going on, you know, with Uchenna Nwosu. I mean, if he's even going to get his opportunity to really rush the passer, which he's shown that he can excel at. But you can never have enough pass rushers. And I mean, hey, why not get younger? Why not, you know, bring another body in that can get after the quarterback? You can never, ever have enough pass rushers in this league. They get paid a lot of money for a reason, because you affect the quarterback, you win football games.
Well, and the Chargers were 28th as far as bringing the quarterback down last season, which just simply wasn't getting it done. So if some of these guys fall into the mid rounds, I think the Chargers could potentially come up with a guy to help that pass rush, because Isaac Rochelle is not the answer, and the future at the position is very uncertain. But another guy that had a pretty good game in this one and had a good week at Senior Bowl was Devin Duvernay, somebody that John is very in tune with being a Texas fan. So, John, the Chargers need a wide receiver, and we'll maybe get to some of the other wide receivers in this game on a future show. But what do you like about Devin Duvernay, a guy that a lot of people got to see in the Senior Bowl?
Well, I felt he stepped up in a big role this year. He we had a lot of guys on the Texas team. Yes, I'm a Texas fan, so I'm going to say we deal with it. And he had to step up in a big role because we had a lot of injuries, and he took it on really well. He was really clutch, took on a lot of big responsibilities. He was even able to convert a lot of third downs when it looked like we weren't even going to convert a third down. And I think he single-handedly kept this offense alive from the wide receiver spot. Of course, the quarterback has a lot to do with that, but from the wide receiver spot, he took on a lot of things. He even had a really good game against LSU, who won the national championship. He still had a great game against it back in like week two or week three. So if the Chargers were to go after him, this would be a guy who I would say could do the same things Mike Williams does, probably not jump ball-wise. I think Mike Williams outdoes him on that. But as far as the intermediate routes, being able to go deep and finding a way to make a clutch catch, I think you would have two guys that could do that. But as far as that speedy guy that most of us talk about, who have a Keenan, a Mike Williams, and a speed guy, I don't think he's that speed guy. But having two Mike Williams, I think, could be a good option.
Well, and I think you'd have a more reliable middle of the field option. I mean, Travis Benjamin was never really a threat in that position, and they haven't had a guy that could be a consistent catcher of the football at that third wide receiver spot. So I think he's a very reliable guy that can track the ball really well, even though he's not, you know, a super speed threat. But I thought he had a pretty good showing, and we'll talk about more of the wide receivers leading up to the draft, and we'll have a lot more draft coverage. We might even get into more of this game. I mean, I have a ton of notes from this game. We'll see if we can squeeze it in on another show, but that is going to do it for today's show. Thanks to everybody who joined us for today's show. Until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. If you guys want to get your voices on the show, make sure to call 323-524-7924 because every Chargers voicemail gets on the show, and we have a lot of great callers to contend with. But that is going to do it for today. We will talk to you guys later on in the week. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.